Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at, let's begin reading in verse 3. It says, Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our war are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just thank you again for an opportunity to come and worship you this morning, Father. And I'm so grateful to be in your house this morning, Lord. And I just ask that you have already prepared the hearts this morning to receive your message and to lift up your praise and adoration to you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk about strongholds, okay? Strongholds. I went back and forth on what maybe I might do this morning, but came to this, that we have strongholds in our lives, and I think everybody can kind of get that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit during the message. But if you would just think about some of the strongholds that are in your life right now, you may say, well, you know what, I don't really have anything that's holding me down. Then hopefully by the end of the message, you're going to see that, you know what, there's some strongholds that need to be torn down in my life. I know there certainly are in my life, okay? I'll be the first to tell you that I've got strongholds sitting in my life that need to be dealt with. And if we're honest, we can all say the same thing. But strongholds, in 1863, it was something called the Emancipation Proclamation. Everybody knows that, right? You know what that is? You know what that means? Basically, that was the freedom of slavery in the states. A war was fought, and now slavery was legally abolished. They got rid of it. Slaves were set free. They were all set free. All over our country, they were all set free. But tragically, many continued to live their lives under the same conditions. They wanted to be in bondage to their masters. They didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay right there on the plantations. They wanted to stay right there. Even though they were free, they were there in bondage. They wanted to serve their master, and so it is with the believer today. They have been set free. We have been set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're free. We are no longer in bondage from our sins. But yet, sometimes, they have a grip on our lives. These strongholds, they are so strong. You know, throughout the scripture talks about strongholds, all kinds of strongholds. They have a grip on our lives. And there is a group of pastors in our community that have come together to pray for our community and to identify the strongholds in our community. There's probably there usually is between 5 and 10 pastors that get together, and we pray on a monthly basis. We get together and pray for our community because we want to love Fayette. Our desire is to love Fayette through praying, and tonight we're going to get together and we're going to actually put some hands and some feet to that prayer. You know, it's one thing, and I know you've all, this has all happened to you. They've come to you, somebody's come to you, and you're going through a troubled time, and they say, oh, Andrea, I'll pray for you, girl. You know, I know you're not doing well, maybe financially, or maybe you don't have any transportation, or something's going on in your life, but I'll pray for you. Don't worry about it. And then I walk away, and I forget even who Andrea is, right? Because all the world stuff starts to pow on me, and now I forget Andrea. But we want to put some hands and some feet to what we say. So tonight we're going to come here about 5 o'clock. Pastor Ron has already selected a couple of songs. We're going to sing a couple of songs with some other congregations in the town. And then we're going to have a short devotional. And then we're going to put some feet to what we said we wanted to do. We want to love Fayette, so we're going to go into 3 areas in our town, and we're going to serve hot dogs for no other reason than to tell you, hey, look, I do want to pray for you. Where are your struggles? What is going on in your life? What are the strongholds in your life? Can I help you at all? And be genuine about it, and pray with that person right there and then. And give them a hot dog and a soda and some potato chips and whatever. But just say, hey, you know what? We do love you and we are here for you. Not that we want you to come to church. Not that we want anything from you, but this is the body of Christ going to you into our community saying, we love you. And we're here for you. The strongholds that we have identified are the strongholds we've identified. These pastors have identified 4 strongholds. Now, there are many more. You can think about it in your head and say, you know what? I've got one of these strongholds that are holding me down that Pastor Joe just mentioned. Or you can say, you know what? This is where I'm struggling. But most of what we struggle with are the 4 ones that we've identified. And we're talking about Fayette County as a whole. The strongholds of religion. There's a stronghold on Fayette County about a religion, where Satan has told the lie that all that is necessary is that you are a good person, that you go to church, that you take up a space in some church somewhere on Sunday morning, and that's all that's necessary. That you follow all the traditions, that you listen to a certain music, that you read a certain Bible, that's good, traditions, that you pray to certain saints, that you do whatever. Religion has a grip on Fayette County, a hard grip, and Satan loves us to be in that spot. Following traditions and rituals. And then there's the stronghold of that Satan has on our families and on our children. Man, God in the beginning said that everything was good, right? He's saying, well, the light was good, the day was good, whatever. Everything was good until we came to the fact that man was alone, and he said, this isn't good that man is alone, right? Genesis 1. Chapter 27, or chapter 1, 20, verse 27. But anyway, he says, you know what? It's not good. And then he made the man and the woman. He made the woman from the man and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be. He's established it. And God says, no, no. Or Satan says, no, that's good. But you know what? It's okay to have same-sex marriages too. 8 states in the United States say that it's okay to marry the same sex. That's wrong. That's flat out wrong. That's wrong. I'll say that to anybody in any place. That is wrong. Okay? Love the sinner, hate the sin. It's wrong. Same-sex marriage is wrong. Wrong. Anybody get that? I mean, you're all right with that? Amens or anything? Okay. The stronghold of family, they want to destroy it. They absolutely want to destroy it. Stronghold number 3, the stronghold of addiction. The stronghold of addiction. Now, you put whatever label you want on that one. Substance abuse, sexual impurity. You put whatever you want on it. Just think for a moment. What you have going on, the addiction that you have going on. You know what? I'll tell you what. You know what kind of addiction I have. I've said it a million times up here. Cars. That's my addiction. And man, I struggle fighting with that one. But then, you know, there's other addictions too that I have in my life that I need to get rid of, that I need to wipe out. And so do you. If you just think about it for a moment. But Satan has a grip on our county and in this congregation with addictions. It does. He does. Number four is poverty. Now, people in our county are stuck in poverty. Even though that we have jobs now, even though that you know, years ago, and I preached on this about a year ago. You'll remember I put up what Fayette County used to look like with the coal mines and the coke works and the steel mills and everybody. You know, there was a car in every garage and a chicken in every pot and everything else way back when. And then that all went away and we became impoverished here. And then we started needing entitlements and we started to do whatever, okay? And today we can say the gas industry is back, or the gas industry is here, and that's really awesome that we have. But we still live in poverty, and poverty could be more than just poverty financially. Spiritual poverty is all over and runs rampant in our county. You know, it was awesome. Thursday was National Day of Prayer, and we prayed at the Clergy Association meeting, and then we met in front of the courthouse. And there were probably 10 or 15 guys that came together and ladies, and we prayed for this county. Because there, I'll tell you what, we are in spiritual poverty. And that just goes back to the religion. And truth is, these strongholds are real. You know, we may think about, you know, the strongholds that are affecting everybody. They're outside the church. Those are for unbelievers, right? They're unbelievers. But right here, everybody sitting here, these strongholds are real, even for everyone sitting here this morning. And these aren't just holds on the non-believer, because Paul is writing to who? The church. Paul is writing to the church. Family, no matter where you are in your walk, there is something that either has a hold or will have a stronghold on your life. And he speaks of war. What does it say in chapter 10? It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, and for the weapons of our warfare." There's a warfare. There's a warfare going on right now in your head. Because you're either with me this morning or you're somewhere else. You're somewhere else thinking about what you're going to have for dinner today, what you're going to do this afternoon on this beautiful sunny day. Now I've put those thoughts in your mind. Come on back. Come on back. But Satan can't have your soul, because you are a believer secured in the blood of Jesus Christ. See, what happens is, since we're all believers, at least I think everybody's a believer here, maybe not. But he can't have your soul. But he can render you ineffective for his kingdom. He can put a stronghold on you that when somebody sees you in your walk, they will not come to Christ because they see the way you walk, the way you talk, right? How can we go out into our community of unbelievers and say, "Hey, look, I want to tear down your strongholds," when we got strongholds ourselves, right? So it starts here in the house. Amen? Jesus can destroy, or the Satan can destroy our witness for Jesus. And he is out to capture, to corrupt, and to control our mind. He tells us that things like sexual impurity is okay just because it's only this one time. It's only this one time, right? He tells us what matters most is what happens today, what we're doing today, right? Everything's cool. Don't worry about tomorrow. So we go into debt, and Satan laughs all the way to the spiritual bank. Because, think about it. When you came to Christ, the person who led you to Christ, were they taking a shot or smoking a cigarette saying, yeah, Jesus is the way, the life and the truth and the life. Yada, everything's cool, right? No, that person walked, right? Would you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord over your life with the person smoking a cigarette and taking drugs and leading a life and every other word comes out of their mouth is a swear word? Would you say, yeah, that's, you know, for me, I'll accept Christ? Probably not, right? So Satan laughs all the way to the spiritual bank, and it's time to stop letting him win the battle over our minds, our lives, our families, and our community. So what is a stronghold? Let me give you a definition of a stronghold. Patterns in your life that are deeply entrenched and habitually performed that we don't recognize how they are hurting your spirituality. And we don't even recognize that we have the power to do anything differently, right? We don't. Verse 4 tells us again, it says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Again, Paul penned this. His audience was, when he penned this, his audience was a group of professing Christians. He's writing to a congregation, so to speak. Paul was speaking to God's people. So if there can be a strongholds in our lives, how much more can there be in the unbeliever who doesn't even know God? The very people that we say we want to help are with the Love Fayette. And if we think we're struggling, we can't imagine how the unbeliever is struggling, right? The problem is that they don't even know that Satan has a stronghold on them. Now, the word stronghold means to harden, to make hard. It describes an entrenchment or a fortress. When you look through the Bible, when you take a look, you do a word study on strongholds, and that's what it's all about. It's something that's a fortress. It's something that's entrenched. So a stronghold is any area of our lives that possesses a threat or poses a threat to our spiritual progress. It is a person, a place, a thing, a predicament, or problem that hinders us. That's what it is. That's what a stronghold is. So that encompasses just about all four areas and even plus some, doesn't it? Or holds it, clutches, and impedes us from our full potential in Christ. It stops us. Here, I said all that to say it very, very simply. It is a slippery slope down a path to destruction, period. Okay? That's what a stronghold is. A slippery slope down a path to destruction. And that's the definition. Now, how does it develop? How do we develop a stronghold? How is it? They develop when we allow Satan a foothold in our lives. And when we do that, we are basically honoring him. When you allow strongholds in your life, and when you are giving in to those strongholds, you are honoring and worshiping Satan instead of honoring God by following his commands. What does it say to honor God? We have to do what? To love God, we have to do what? Follow his commands, right? Well, how do we love Satan? By following his commands, giving into his strongholds, giving into what he wants. It starts out sometimes very, very small and very innocently, and it starts at a very young age, and it grows in resentment. You become bitter in your spirit, and it begins to control you. And all of your relationships, we allow Satan a stronghold in our hearts. You know, it's a fun, kind of a funny story. It's not really a funny story. I don't know whether you'll find it funny. But there was a woman who was abused as a child. Her parents never respected her. And so she marries a guy, she finds a guy and has a relationship with that same thing. He doesn't respect her, she doesn't respect him. Finally, the marriage gets to a point where he just takes his life. He goes in the spare bedroom and he takes his life. And the only thing that the woman can think about is now she has to change the sheets in the spare room. Bitterness causes a stronghold that makes us lose all sense of what is really important. You get that? The bitterness of a stronghold, the strongholds that they have on us, we lose sight of everything that's important to God. Sometimes strongholds start at a very young age. How many people are living unproductive lives because of habits or sins that were started at an early age? And for years, Satan has us trapped. How many years have been wasted because of the oppression and the strongholds that was allowed into our hearts? You know what? Very good saying. Sow a habit and reap a whirlwind. Sow a habit and you'll reap a destiny. And that's exactly where you're going to go. Satan is very persistent in wanting to control every aspect of our lives. Why? Because Satan desires your worship. Family, whatever there is, wherever there is an evil stronghold in our lives, Satan is lord over that area. It's like, why is tobacco so, why does it have addictive qualities? Why does any perversion control us? A person starts with the internet, next he looks at some videos, and before long, the marriage is ruined. You can't think about anything except getting alone with your pictures. Who is lord over your life? Satan desires honor and worship in our strongholds of sin, and we give homage and worship to him. And then Satan laughs. He laughs. He laughs at God. He laughs at Jesus. Just think about the story in Job. Take a look at Job real quick. I'm going to run back there real quick. Almost concluded here. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's begin in verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord," and he's kind of saying, "Yeah, you know what? You know what? You've got a mess down there. You've got a mess down there. Otherwise, God wouldn't have brought Job up." He's Satan's up there laughing. He's saying, "You know what? You've got a mess. Look at all that down there's going on. Look at all the people that you created and wanted to serve you. Look what they're doing." And he says, then in verse 8, he says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him?" Oh, we read that already. Verse 9, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land?" You know, he's just basically saying, look, the only reason he's following you is because of what you're doing for him. That's it. It's the only reason. Satan would just absolutely love to go up and laugh at the CBC family and say, look what they're doing. So, how did you develop a stronghold? Wrong thinking leads to wrong action, which leads to wrong attitudes. And how are they destroyed? When Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he do? What was his weapon? It was Scripture. It was Scripture. Basic to all victory of the believer over Satan is the absolute truth of the Scriptures. Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Satan finds our emotions, our wishes, and our sincere desire no problem for him to defeat. All that stuff that we have, Satan has no problem defeating it. I can want to love and to serve the Lord and not be defeated by Satan, but I will fail in my sincerity to do that if I don't use the truth of God against Satan and his schemes. Knowing Scripture is key to victory. Many Christians trust Christ, but do very little to prepare for the battle. They don't know the importance of Scripture plays in our everyday lives. Take a look at Romans. Romans chapter 13. We're going to go to two more scriptures here. Romans chapter 13. In verse 12, it says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." It's the word of God. We're in trouble. We're in darkness in this world. And what we need to do is bring that light. Bring the light from Calvary Baptist. We're on a hill. We set us here for a reason. We need to be that light to shine in this community, to bring his word. And then 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." We have to make sure that we're equipped, right, with our weapons. We got our weapons. The Oasis the other night, a couple of Saturdays ago, they had those Nerf guns, and they had a battle. They had their weapons, and if you came without a weapon, you were in trouble because you were going to get shot with a Nerf bullet. Well, guess what? We need to be equipped with our weapons, right? The weapons of Scripture. We need to hide that in our heart. We need to make sure that we have that. What a weapon that is. Just read the story of Joseph. How could I commit such a great sin against God? Here, Joseph, for those of you real quick that don't know about the story of Joseph, what had happened was he was sold into slavery into Egypt and then sold to Potiphar and was master over his house, and Potiphar's wife came to him and said, "Lie with me." Now, here's a young boy, teenager, hormones are racing, going crazy, right? And of course, this beautiful young lady comes to him and says, "You know what? I want you." Now, he could have just said, "Nobody's looking," because nobody was in the house. He could have said, "Well, yeah, I can do this. You know, after all, I'm a young man. I need this. I want this. I can go and do it." But he didn't. Why didn't he do it? Because he didn't want to sin against God, period. He did not want to sin against God. And finally, the unity in the body of Christ, when we are united, the power to overcome strongholds can claim every life in a church. We are spiritually powerful when we are united in our praying and in our goals of maturing and seeking the lost together. You know what, family? We need to get together, and I hope all of you come back tonight. I hope all of you want to love Fayette by praying. Even if you just come, and you don't want to go out to the housings, just come and at least pray with us. tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to sing and we're going to have a couple of things and then we're going to pray. And I just want you to come back for that. And you don't have to go. You make your decision. You can go home after that if you want to do that. I'd like you to come, but you don't have to. We just seek the lost world. We are called to attack these strongholds. Weapons are placed in our hands, weapons of might, powerful to break Satan's strongholds on others. Family, today is a good opportunity. Today is a good opportunity to help not only break our strongholds that Satan has on us, but also to pray for others out in our community. So while you consider that, I'd like you to all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want you to consider, this wasn't a great upbeat message, but you know what? It's something that has to be said, right? It's something that we have to know as Christians. We have to know who our enemy is. We have to know where our strongholds are, where the enemy's strongholds are. We need to know that. So it has to be brought to our attention, because if it doesn't periodically come to our attention, then what happens is we can't become complacent. We become the same as the world. We just don't feel anything anymore, and these strongholds that have gripped us since we were children, and they still grip us right now, Satan will just take them and use them and just render you completely helpless. So as we have an invitation this morning, the altar's open. If you want to come down and you want to pray for Fayette County, if you want to pray for this church, if you want to pray to God to tear down the strongholds that Satan has on this community, why don't you come down and do that? Why don't you come down and pray for the activities going on tonight, that they are successful, that God will get the glory, that God and Jesus Christ are honored by what is done here tonight. So won't you come, don't delay, and just lift up some prayers of adoration to and praise to God.
Should I stumble again, I'm called in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Everlasting. heart and my soul. I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
Father God, we just come to you, and Lord, we just ask that you would tear down the strongholds that hold us down, Father. In this church and in this community, Father, tear them down. Replace them with your protection, Father. Replace all of those strongholds that are sin and hold us back from witnessing for Jesus. Lord, I just lift this congregation up today. I lift the event that's going to go on tonight, Father. I lift that up to you. May it solely, Father, be for your honor and for your glory, that you get all the praise, that you get all the adoration, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.